Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
And welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris, and this show is called Nowhere to Run. You can go to our website, which is conspiracyclose.com/nowheretorun, or you can go to Revere's website, which is revereradio.info. Okay, we've got a very interesting and important show for you today, and so we want to get right into it. I want to talk a lot about the Black Awakening, which is something that is of the utmost importance in understanding what we may be up against, and it's something that is so hidden. I mean, because there, not only do you have to understand a good deal about of the groundwork that we've already talked about here, the trauma-based mind control, the satanic ritual abuse, the assassins, the sleepers, and understanding Robert Duncan O'Finion and his issue, you know, needs to be understood. You know, the basics of that need to be understood before you can even understand what this Black Awakening is about. And there is so much information, and it will just astound you how far we have to go to understand what could be crucial for us to understand in order to not be incredibly deceived by this deception, you know. And so we're going to get into that a lot today, and I hope that it will fall on your ears and will soften your heart, that you will understand what we're talking about here. First, let me go ahead and talk about the last show we did, which we put forth an idea about the rapture and, you know, this partial rapture idea. And I got a lot of emails and whatnot saying all kinds of different viewpoints on it. And what's interesting to me, I want to say a few things about this. First, I mean, anytime I've avoided almost talking about the rapture just because it's such a hot button issue. That should be, in my opinion, a huge clue for us that we don't have it all figured out yet. It's one of those things, I think, that when it happens the way it happens, we'll be able to look back and be like, oh, that's what they meant. That's why it said it. That's why this said it. That's why, you know, it's that kind of thing has happened a lot of times. You know, certain parts of the Bible were just totally you know, foreign and understandable until the events happened, and they're like, oh my, it was right on the money. You know, I mean, the Bible wasn't wrong. Our just understanding of it wasn't right. Yeah, I'm saying to you that possibly the reason why I get emails from people that don't disagree on anything else, nothing else, we're all on the same page about everything else except for the rapture issue, is such a hot button issue, and people are so diametrically opposed. Of course it can't be like that. Haven't you ever read this, or haven't you ever seen this? It can't be like that because of this, and it can't. I mean, that's a clue that we don't have that figured out yet. So I think it's important to entertain these theories, especially because I think that the rapture is being used in a very significant way as disinformation. And people are pointing to that and say, it's just disinformation. It's one of the things that I really don't like to hear is people saying that the rapture is disinformation in the sense that it's, you know, it's to keep Christians, you know, from, oh, just doing anything, and, oh, let's just lay back and not do anything. Well, that's just crazy. I mean, I believe that a rapture, and I am not doing anything. You know, this is all I do full time, trying to figure out what this is. I mean, and expose the New World Order system and everything that I see it as. So, you know, that's not valid. And I don't think that I've ever seen anybody that believes that, you know, fall into that description of like, oh, the rapture's coming, let's just lay down. Although there is that disinformation campaign out there, and in a certain way. Let me try to explain what I'm saying about this before we get into the very important issue, which actually ties in directly to this. Okay. let me just say this. I know a lot of you are just not going to hear this because you're not coming from, you know, where I'm coming from. I just got to say it because it's important. The issue is that it has to happen no matter which way you look at it, pre-trib, mid-trib, post, you know, post-trib, whatever. It has to happen at some point. I think we all can agree on that. But the thing is, nobody knows when, and especially Satan doesn't know when. But he knows it has to happen. He may be in the dark. He may be a little bit more informed than we are about when precisely it happens. I think that he's a pretty well student of the Bible. But he has to lay groundwork of explaining that. It was one of the first thoughts I ever had in questioning this idea in the first place, was that if it's true and Satan doesn't know, he has to lay some kind of groundwork to explain that, because he's running the risk of that happening and everybody being like, oh my, it's true. The Bible's right. There's the rapture. Oh my gosh, what have I done? You know, there has to be a major campaign laid the groundwork for to prepare for that. And I mean, it's so obvious when you look. I mean, one of the first things I found years and years, 10 years ago, looking into the New Age stuff and all that stuff, found out that all the channeled information was talking about that there was going to be a taking away of all those that weren't ready to enter the New Age. You know, they were going, the ones that were holding them back from enlightenment, the ones that were preventing them from becoming something new, they were going to be taken away. It's New Age doctrine. It's what the Greys are telling us. It's what all the ascended masters and the channeled spirits are all unifyingly saying. That should be a major, 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 major issue. We should understand that. That the dark side is misinforming those that will listen to them and that have opened doors to them on this issue. So there's already that groundwork being laid, but it's a whole lot bigger than that, because in a sense we are holding them back from this new world order. They can't really do what they're trying to do with us here. We are, as it said, the salt of the earth. That is, we're preventing the decay of this earth by us being here. When he takes the church out, he will also take, at that time, his spirit out through us. We are the temple of God. He lives in those who have given him the right to live in him. And when we're taken away, the authority that we have over the demonic and the gift that we've been given of discernment, I mean, we can sniff out evil stuff pretty easily. It's a supernatural sensation, in the same way that some people are supernaturally deceived, that they have a spiritual blindness. I run into that all the time. I mean, you can explain to somebody that they, you know, just prove it with every bit of proof in the world, but it's just not going to sink into some people, and I see it as a spiritual blindness. I know what that sounds like, but I mean, just take the Zeitgeist thing, for instance. Some people are so locked into the deception that all this Horus Jesus similarities, you know, existed because they've been told it by all their favorite gurus so many times, like it was just such old news, that they just believe it, and they can't hear you when you say it's not there. All you have to do is look it up. I'm not trying to push anything on you. I'm just saying that you got lied to, and you can find out. All you have to do is look it up. And that just doesn't seem to sink in, and people fight that. But anyway, let me talk about something that we'll lead into this idea about the Black Awakening. But first, I want to get to another email that I think is very, very important. But let me suggest something here. This is the Second Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. And I think we'd all agree that is the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Okay, so he's telling us very clearly here that it can't happen. The rapture can't happen unless a falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed. Now, I know that most of the churches teach that the falling away is just a backsliding of the church or some kind of general term like that. But I think that is not what we read here. In the Greek, that term, that falling away, is referred to like when Moses came down from the mountain and they had all, it's indicative of regime change. And what I'm suggesting here is this great revolt is, as Russ Dizdar puts forward, and I agree totally with him, that this revolt, this black awakening, is what they're all being trained for. And for the last 50 years, millions, 10 million sleepers are present in Europe and America, and they're going to be activated, and they're going to, in effect, change the regime of this. They're going to kill political leaders and all kinds of religious leaders. We're going to be targeted, leaders of the church and people that actually know what's going on. They're high on the list of these assassin types. I'll go into this here in a little bit, but I'm suggesting first that this black awakening, this regime change, this great revolt is what's meant here by "let no man deceive you, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." And I suggest that this black awakening will be stopped by this man of sin. Okay, he is going to be somehow in control of this. The black awakening is not going to be explained by any conventional terms in the media. We're going to have to get into this here in a little bit. Let's go ahead and undo this. I'll get to the other bit later. Okay, we understand trauma-based mind control, I think, for the most part. That is, the Nazis brought over a system. It's probably been going on before that, but it started with, the Theosophical thing, which is interesting, the Tessarians connection, the whole Theosophical society and everything. But they were concerned, and Blavatsky brought forth this idea of this blood purity issue and the Aryan bloodline. It all came from that philosophy, and that's what Hitler and everything were trying to find, the right bloodline, and they were breeding people to give certain percentage of this kind of blood that they were looking for. The reason is that it may be, whatever way you want to look at it, ancient Nephilim blood. And the reason, one of the reasons that they need it, is because there is spiritual power in the blood, that there is a connection to blood in a spiritual way. That is, that our life could actually be somehow connected to our blood in some significant way. And I got a long way to go to explain this, so I don't know. Just stay with me. I probably will go off track here a lot, but I'm just going to try to go it piece by piece. And I think this is a good place to start. The issue is that demonic attachment can be in the blood. As you do rituals and a number of things, and especially if you had Nephilim blood or whatever, as you do rituals and stuff, you can acquire demons that will give you a certain amount of power. Some people who have been doing it their whole life or in the 80s have thousands of demons, and they can do all kinds of things that have given them power because of the different demons they've acquired. A lot of times you hear about this New World Order thing, downloading themselves, trying to download themselves into another person. Well, that's old school. And that's a trick that they probably tell the person, oh, you're downloading yourself into your granddaughter or grandson, when in effect all you're really doing is transferring through the blood your demons to them. So the demons get to go to a new home, so they don't have to go back to the abyss or anything. You're dead. You're in hell. You don't get to transfer anything. But all the demons that you've acquired throughout your life don't have to die. They can be transferred. It's easier for them. And that's one of the ways that this bloodline thing is so crucial to these people that we all know are a part of something very, very evil. We just haven't quite put our finger on it. And that had a lot to do with you got to look into the occult connections of the Third Reich and all that stuff. There's really good books about that. But they were obviously very, 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 very concerned about this, and very occult in a lot of different ways. The Aryan thing is all about that. And I want to also suggest that that's how you can tell that there's something fishy going on here, because if you've looked into trauma-based mind control, you understand that it came mostly. Now, granted, these were spiritually powered people being led to do the will of whatever demons they're downloading here. So they did a lot of this mind control. Trauma-based mind control was a very important thing that apparently this interdimensional demons wanted to focus the research on during World War II, where they devised a way to split personalities, and through trauma-based, that's torturing to get and drugging so that they couldn't split up, where they would create split personalities, and then they devise a system to program those personalities to do different things. What the new issue is that they demonize, once they've created certain personalities that and trained them, you know, military ways, assassins, all kinds of things like that, then they would demonize that personality. That's why satanic ritual abuse and mind and multiple personality disorder are married. That's why we have 4 million diagnosed cases of people you know, they have satanic ritual abuse and multiple personality disorder. And that's why it's totally connected, because they remember going to satanic rituals and they have multiple personalities. It's because they have to. It's totally the same system, and it's freaking huge. It's 4 million diagnosed cases. That's people in psychiatrist's office. We're talking, those are the people whose programming is breaking down to where they are not functioning properly, where they're telling people about it. There's intact people like this too. 10 million estimates. I mean, we're talking about a massive amount of people out there that have programs to do any number of things. But they all, once you can get in with them and counsel with them, they're all doing, most of them have German-speaking, Nazi-loyal, Aryan bloodline alters that are very, very interested in serving the Antichrist. They call it the Antichrist, serving the Antichrist system, when they're going to be soldiers for the Antichrist. And this is something that certain alters, and you got to remember, alters in their personality are literally other alters. They're like, I mean, they don't have connections a lot of times, but anyway, I guess I'm trying to get this all done in one breath here, but let's see where else we should go logically next. But just the system of their alters. I know that, you know, we've done interviews with different mind-controlled individuals and things that have been through these things. You can see that there is a very clear connection to the German ideals and so on. But it doesn't always have to be that way. Remember, a lot of these alters are just compartmentalized, in that one alter just knows to do one thing. Like, all this alter knows is that I'm just supposed to have a gun. I don't know nothing else. You know, I'm just supposed to have a gun. But see, they all have triggers to do. And once you start to break down, you know, with the alters that know a bit of the plan, all tell the same story. I mean, they're all talking about this black awakening. That is, at some point in the future, they will be triggered to create this massive chaos that the Antichrist will rise out of. It's assassinations, it's taking out infrastructure, it is, you know, a lot of these people you see in the church shootings and the Virginia Tech and all the school shootings almost always are part of this. It's not the Black Awakening. Understand that the Black Awakening will be unmistakable. It's not the church shootings, it's not the isolated incident. It is a massive, massive thing. I mean, 10 million people or whatever, I don't know how many it'll be, but there's a lot out there, will be simultaneously triggered to do just absolute and total chaos. And that's their whole plan, okay? They are shocked when they hear people that know about this. And they're very dangerous, but understand, they're also, just like you and me, they're good. They just got taken from very early ages and put through these horrible programs and torture to split off personalities, and then and drugged to and then told all these programming things that you would also be fallen into. But they have a choice too. They you know, if you talk to them, be compassionate, because realize that they have never really been given a choice. If they only knew the truth, if they could just see past the cloud that has been imposed on them, they would see that they are being used, that the different personalities are being put in a cage and only brought out when they're needed, like dogs. And they can be saved just as easily as the next guy, and they deserve to be. They should be loved and prayed for. They are just like you and me. They just have been, I would say deceived, but it's almost like it's a technological programming that I don't even know if you can call it deceived, because it's just so heavy. But have compassion for them, because they deserve it. Anyway, this event is somehow going to be married to something. I was thinking about this last night, thinking about the issue, because when it happens, the news isn't going to know how to deal with it, because they're not going to be, you know, Muslims, or, you know, all Muslims. There'll probably be some Muslims, but there's going to be, you know, there's going to be assassinations of the reason they have to assassinate different political leaders and different church leaders. Some of them, like, will be, let's say, in a police department, and they have programs to take out, you know, they have the pictures, different altars have the pictures of the different person that they'll take out in the police department, and then they'll take their position after it's all over. It's a regime change, in the sense that after the Black Awakening is over, the positions of power will all be under control of this Luciferian, satanic system, mind-controlled Nazi system. It is a absolute takeover of infrastructure. And after that is when the man of sin will be revealed. Do you see in 2 Thessalonians how it's saying, it's marrying these two events together? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, a great revolt, you know, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I would say that we're real close to the, I mean, I don't know when the Black Awakening's happening. I know the church shootings and all that happened. I don't know if it's a test run, if their programming got triggered a little early or whatever. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I'll say this, that with the Mideast peace process and what Bush is doing over there, which I'm going to go into a little in this email that I meant to get to first, I would say that we're real close to the Antichrist being revealed. And so it's my personal opinion. I mean, I would say that the stage is set for him in a lot of different ways. We're real close to that, so I just can only logically assume that we must be close to this Black Awakening that these Satanists and MPDSRI people are telling us about, that come out of it. It's not easy for them to come out of it. It takes the direct intervention of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, the name and authority of Jesus Christ, to save them directly. And that, it's only through him, his direct intervention, which they can do just by calling his name and witnessing the strength of his arms and power. It's absolutely unmatched in the world or outside the world. Nothing can withstand the power and authority of the name and of Jesus Christ. But anyway, let's move on a little bit to another section of this. Let me first say too that to understand this much, much better than I can tell you, you have to go to Russ Dizdar's site, which is shatterthedarkness.net, and look for any free audio online that has to do with the Black Awakening from Russ Dizdar, RussDizdar, Russ Dizdar, and see how credible he is, because this is a guy who is on fire and a fearless warrior. This guy is something to look into, and you will see that this is something that he is very qualified to be talking about. I can only just say that you have to just look into Russ Dizdar at shatterthedarkness.net and look for Black Awakening material. I've actually got a course. The reason it's all fresh on my mind is I've been listening to his course on the Black Awakening. I highly recommend his courses for any number of reasons. I've taken the first one, Confronting the Powers, and now I've taken the Black Awakening. The first one is more definitely like a course issue, and this one is also like that, but I've just been actually just listening to this one as opposed to going through it much like a course, which is only because I've just been having to multitask in a lot of different ways. So, but he also has courses about how to do what he does. Freedom Encounters, I believe, is the name of that one, which is actually the breaking the programming and how to, you know, to help and to heal the wounds created by this trauma-based mind control and satanic possession and all kinds of things that they're doing, which is all married to this issue. And I know this is impossible to believe for some people out there that are just casually listening to this, but all I can say is that time is up. You know, I was just doing it, emailing with somebody who was, you know, telling me that, you know, in a really logical way, he was saying, you know, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, you got to understand that people are, you know, we can all fight the, you know, New World Order in our own different ways. We can believe in all these different things. And, you know, and I'm saying I agree totally with that. And I am an American, and I agree that we shall worship the way we choose and that we have the freedom to that. And I would totally fight and die for that principle. But my position is that there is a right and a wrong. I mean, I know it's politically correct to say that we should all just get along, you know, that we can all be every single religion and that, you know, everything is right. Well, that's just logically speaking not true. I mean, there has to be, speaking of like creation, for example, it happened one way, you know, not many ways, not all the ways. It didn't happen every way that anybody conceived that it happened. It happened one way. I mean, just logically, physically, naturally speaking, it happened one particular way. And the way that they're teaching us in school does not seem to be the way that it happened. It's not functional. It's not logical. And so we have to move on to that. And it does bring us into theological problems and issues. But that's what we got to do. Just because it's theological and it can't go any further with the naturalistic. Look, that's what they're doing. They're realizing the breaking down of this so that they are bringing in the Sitchin idea and the Tessarian idea and the Maxwell idea of the aliens genetically seeded us. This is a huge part of this, and this, I think, ties into the Black Awakening somehow, because, and this is what I'm glad this is a good segue. I think that something somehow will be, this is, I never got to explain this, so this is just perfect. Thank you, Lord. It has to tie in, because you have all these people, they're not going to be able to say it's Islamic terrorists or whatever. It's going to be, you know, a lot of different people doing a lot of different things. It's going to be totally unexplainable in a rational manner. So what I was thinking, that it has to be somehow tied to aliens or something, and it's got to be blamed on Christianity somehow. So what I was thinking maybe it could have to do with is this revealing of something to do with extraterrestrial life, which will give credibility to the Sitchins and Tessarians who have been evangelizing their complete and total disproven propaganda, which I'm glad to debate them on anytime. So what I can't figure is what they're how they're going to explain this, but this is, I think, a possibility that they're going to say these people are all going crazy. Like, you know, what's the War of the Worlds situation, you know, when people went crazy when they did the broadcast about aliens being there, Martians or whatever, and so people went crazy. So maybe they're going to say that all these people that are doing this, keep in mind they have altars, a lot of them have Christian altars, so they'll be, so they have this public perception of being Christians when they're really just infiltrating churches and so on and have satanic loyal altars. And when they say praise the Lord, they're talking about Satan, and they're in your church and they are trying to be your friends. And they are trying, if you're a pastor, you may have one that just is really interested and wants to be your buddy and is interested in all the same things you do and just wants the keys to the nursery and just wants the keys to the sanctuary. Those people are infiltrators. And this is huge. So maybe this is a theory here that maybe what's going on is that there's going to be this mass revolt, and they're just going to be said to be going crazy because they're Christians and they can't handle the aliens thing. Okay, so there's just so the news will cover it like that these Christians are going crazy all across the world because their paradigm has been shattered by the new alien threat, major Black Awakening trigger. And all that stuff happens, and then the Antichrist, who is right on the stage ready to be revealed with this Israel thing, you know, it says he's supposed to come on the scene, you know, making a 7-year peace agreement with Israel. I mean, and we're going to look into something here really amazing that in just a second. So we've got all these things really, really, really close to the same area, okay? And so we need to just really wake up, pay attention to this, get the word out, get on your podcast, get to making movies with Windows Movie Maker, just spread it out. The time is short. Get it to people now, you know. get to Russ Dizdar's site. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that, but I can't. Again, I'm stuck with the logical issue of not having any way. I'm not seeing the plan of how they're going to explain away this Black Awakening for their benefit, except for that reason. So let me move on. This is a email from a guy, and he pointed me to a theory that he's been working on. He's a really interesting guy, and he's done some really good work here. I emailed him back. He's like, I want to have your opinion on this. I've just been working on it, and you know, I was like, wow, man, you're a genius. That's really, really, really smart. And he emailed back. He's like, hey, you know what? If it is right, it's to, you know, the glory be to Jesus. But if I'm wrong, I'll take the blame. So I'm with him on this. I mean, probably a lot of people, unless you really understand that the Maseroth, the Zodiac, if you want to talk about the perverted issue, is really important. And actually, God seems to care about it and use it for signs and for seasons for us to understand different things. And he was preaching the gospel to people very early on with this system that he had devised in the stars. I know that this is going to go right over the head of people that are trying to not going to believe that, but we'll just have to continue. This is a post on a forum. I'll put a link to it on christianforum.net, and I'll just read it. Note that this is just an analytical look at the current signs in the sky matching ideas, symbols, patterns. I could be completely wrong, but I want to share this and get your feedback. My theory is that the planetary alignment and full moon on December 23rd, 24th is the first seal. Intro, the Maseroth. Long before the Zodiac, it was known to the Hebrews as the Maseroth. It gives links all through this. The idea was that man's salvation through Christ was recorded in the stars. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The stars were also to be signs, as when Yeshua was born, Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Today, if we know the original names for the stars, we can interpret those signs. Luke 21:25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. This is not astrology. Astrology is Satan's corruption of the Maseroth. The stars aren't there to predict our tiny lives, but to declare the glory of God. Yahweh's plan was written in the stars before Adam was ever created. Unfortunately, much of the meanings of the stars and constellations was lost or corrupted. Luckily, the main idea still comes through by examining the names of the individual stars. Start by studying Virgo. You'll quickly get the idea. And we've covered this on this show before. Just look into the Maseroth. I've got links all through the website, conspiracyclothes.com/nowheretorun, or the Podomatic sites. There's lots of links to in the show notes section is to a lot of places. But here on this link, which I'll link to the show notes section, also has links to stuff. Revelation 6:1-2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now the Greek word for conquer here is the same word for overcoming in the previous seven churches. You can verify this here. Some people think that the first white horse represents the Holy Spirit. I'm inclined to think so too. You can read more about it here. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. So let's assume that the first white horse is the overcomer, Holy Spirit. And once we start looking into the planetary alignment and comet homes, I think you'll see a pattern confirming this. Comet P17 Holmes. The best summary for Comet Holmes is here. Note that the constellation is in Perseus, or in the Hebrew, Pertitz, which means the breaker, delivering the redeemed. It also suggests conquering and overcoming through the meaning of the stars. One of the main stars, Merfak, is called the Helper. The Holy Spirit is also known as the Helper. Read more about the specific constellations here. I might even suggest that breaker means breaking the seals, too. And he does a little wink smile face there. Planetary alignment. On December 23rd, 24th, depending on your time zone, there will be a unique planetary alignment of the major planets, moon, and winter solstice. Here's a link. Here's an image of it. Link and another. Make sure you change the date. It's not quite a cross, but two lines cross at the sun, question mark. What's also interesting is at the same time when we'll have a full moon blocking Mars. Occult means hidden. So what does this mean? Well, I was hoping to find more about it. Hoping to find more about what the early Jews thought of the different planets and what it means when they are in specific constellations. There's plenty of New Age stuff out there, but it's corrupted. The closest I could find was this site. If you have better info or interpretations, please share it. I'm still learning and researching. Potential meaning. Okay, so far, Earth's perspective. There are four constellations of note. Sagittarius, Pluto, Mercury, Jupiter, and the Sun will all be in this constellation. Sagittarius is directly linked to the white horse in Revelation. Gives a link, i.e. going forth and conquering. 2. Gemini. The full moon blocks Mars in Gemini. Read more here. He writes, this is what we see in this sign, Messiah's peaceful reign. All is rest and response. We see his days in which the righteous shall flourish in abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. Page 72. But for this blessed time to come, there must be no enemy. All enemies must be subdued. Very appropriate that the moon is blocking Mars, no? Matches the text quite closely, I think. That's from Psalm 72, I guess. That's interesting. That's in Psalm 72 that says that. And it says, but for the blessed time to come, there must be no enemy. All enemies must be subdued. Also note that Yeshua wasn't to arrive till his enemies were made his footstool. Hebrews 10, verses 12 and 13. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The moon/Mars conjunction is at the feet of Gemini and by the star Mebsuta, which means treading under feet. 3. Leo. Saturn sits firmly within Leo, the lion of Judah, ready for judgment. Another link. According to the Hebrew meaning of Saturn, here's another link. Saturn means Shabbathia, or Shabbath, meaning Sabbath day, stop, rest, or cease. Here we can see that the 1,000-year Sabbath with the king is about to reign, or you could read it as resting with the king, lion laying down with a lamb, or those who are in Christ will rest, not sure. 4. Libra. Venus sits in the middle of Libra. Price that covers is the name of it, of the which is interesting. I mean, if you haven't looked into the individual star names as they're associated with the constellations, you'll never look at another way. You'll just give glory to God every time you look at the constellations and the meanings. If you don't believe me, just start studying about it. Start studying what the earliest accounts of all cultures were naming these stars, and look at the what they were calling the constellations, what their stories of the constellations. You'll see quickly that each constellation is referring to a specific aspect of Jesus, and that if you take them all in connection, meaning the same man, talking about the strong man that cometh, that they are telling a clear picture that you can get from reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You could also understand his full and total ministry by the stars as well. I know what that sounds like, but you just got to research it, you know, Acts 17:11. Okay. Venus sits in the middle of Libra, price that covers. Venus is a star that Yeshua associates himself with. Edit to add, 5. Aquarius. Uranus is here, pouring forth blessings. This is consistent with the first seal representing the Holy Spirit poured out in all flesh. Summary. In short, Sagittarius is the key constellation here. It is the first white horse in the seven seals. In October, we got a warning sign. He's speaking of Comet Holmes, I believe, to put our faith and trust in Yeshua. We even got a full moon in Perseus, too, and the earthquake in Israel that day. Details in this thread. I believe the first seal is about to be opened. The second seal. In the first, if the first seal is accurate, the second seal should follow a similar pattern, right? Let's test my theory. Comet Holmes on January 22nd, 2008, will touch the demon star Algol in Perseus. This alone should be a bad omen for war. And gives another link for more details on the other comets in the sky at that same position years ago. Very interesting. Perseus is carrying a sword, as is the rider on the red horse. That's very interesting. Full moon in Cancer at the same time. Cancer is not a crab. It's a holding pen for the redeemed. Here, gives a link. Here we shall see that sheltering home to which the names of these stars point, where the assembled thousands shall be received into the true Chloraria, even the everlasting habitations. It also means sheltering or hiding place. I pray that God protects us through the tribulations at this time. Is Jesus telling us that he is preparing a place for us? John 14:2, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Sagittarius, still prominent within the other planets, i.e. still horse-man related, Sun and Capricorn. Mars is clearly between the two horns of Taurus. Taurus's stars speak to Yeshua being a judge and a ruler. Two horns. This is the red horse, in my opinion. What's happening in January? You know. And he talks about the Bush's trip to this major peace summit in Israel where they just are talking cuckly, like they're going to have this all figured out, and you have all this, the temple's being ready to be rebuilt, and they have all the necessary things. They just revealed this golden breastplate or whatever it was, and anyway, and you look at the list of who's all attending this peace summit, and you'll get real scared, and you'll start to think, hey, I bet I know one of these names on here. Anyway, I'll continue on this vein. The pattern continues. We're looking at a ripe rapture time. If you believe that, about the same time that the Annapolis conference might put forth a peace agreement. Personally, I'm not sure about the rapture. I'm hoping for the best, but going to prepare for the worst, i.e. stock up on food and survival gear. I think the key is to look at the planetary positions at each of the full moons. Verify it for yourself. Free astronomy program. You can even add Comet Holmes to it. He goes on, the fifth seal following to the full moon on April 20th, Comet Holmes enters the constellation Agurla. Arigua, I don't know. Arigua means the shepherd, and he's pictured taking his flock to safety. Now, the Bullinger subtitles this constellation, Safety for the Redeemed in the Day of Wrath. I think these are the dead believers and martyrs from the past. Revelation 6:9-11. And when we had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge the blood of them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. This correlates with Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, the dead in Christ are raptured first. In seal 5, we are told to wait and given white robes. I believe our rapture occurs in the sixth seal. April 20th is also the start of Passover, which kind of suggests rapture to me. Note the similarity between marking one's door in the Passover and marking of the seal of God in the chapter 7. Also note the full moon is at the feet of Virgo. Revelation 12:1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head was the crown of 12 stars. Don't know about the 12 stars, but there may be a great wonder at that time. Mars returns to Gemini, leaving the horns of Taurus. Perhaps this is where the dragon chases the woman and those faithful in the word. Sixth seal. Full moon in Libra on 5:20. Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Taurus. Comet Holmes exits Aruga. The good shepherd. Is the shepherd done gathering his own? Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and families and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and the psalms in their hand. Clearly, Revelation 7 is where God's faithful are assembled in heaven. So, if one chooses to take to look at Revelation in a sequential way and believes in the rapture, I believe April 20th to June 18th is prime time for the rapture. However, there will be war from January, which famine and death following that. On the other hand, if one doesn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, then the seals may represent years instead of moons. Either way, I think this planetary alignment is the prelude. I've been reading the interesting site and analyzing Revelations from a Hebrew point of view, and it's not pre-tribulation rapture, and asserts the three sets of seven events, seals, trumpets, and bowls, each take place simultaneously in their different heavenly realms and dimensions. It's difficult reading, but fascinating. And he gives more here. The third seal, famine, black horse, might be on 2/20. There's a lunar eclipse on that day. 2 weeks earlier, there is a solar eclipse on Ash Wednesday. Full moon is in Leo. Lunar eclipses often turn the moon red. Revelations John 6:12, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. These eclipses are the same in Revelations. That this throws off my timing a bit. However, the viewing point of this eclipse is the South Pole. The sixth seal suggests catastrophic solar system changes, so perhaps these normal eclipses don't apply. The fourth seal, death, green horse, occurs on 3/21, Good Friday, according to the Gregorian calendar. Interesting how these things are all lining up. It's a long thread, but you get the idea. Okay, just so you know, I mean, I know this sounds like I'm saying, hey, let's all, you know, freak out, but please don't freak out. I don't think that this is what this is intended to be about. It's not about freaking out. It's about just coming to terms with some things. I mean, that first of all, that this world has never been what was important. It's never been anything that we should be terribly concerned about. You know, I mean, just the little things that we deal with are nothing. I mean, this is important only in the sense that we're here to learn how to grow to be better on the other side. I mean, this isn't life. Life begins when we die. And this is a growing period, something of a training ground. So try to concern yourself with making yourself better and trying to understand, or maybe just start thinking about it like that. Maybe it's a good thing to try to exercise, like, you know how you would lift weights. Well, try to lift weights with resisting temptation, whatever that may be for you. Try to just take it one thing at a time. You know that one thing is really an issue. Well, see if you can just tackle that thing and just take it at a time and just focus it on attacking it. Search and destroy sin. I mean, it becomes a fun thing to do, because as you, and I encourage you to pray for conviction of sins and pray for the strength to get rid of them. But understand that that's what these gurus and everybody else are trying to, you know, they're talking about spiritual enlightenment. Let's get spiritual enlightenment through knowledge, or, you know, ritual, or learning some ancient knowledge. Like, that's, you know, like, that's any kind of, you know, you can have all the geometry and whatever you want. I understand now what the real issue is here. And let me tell you, the reason you would be benefited from turning from sin is not just because it starts to make your spirit be more trained to be more like you're supposed to be, but it also gives you this access power. I've said it before. It's like being trusted with the keys to the car. As you continually desire to turn from sin, you start to see your prayer life just explode. I mean, it becomes amazing what is happening in your prayer life. But that's not the payoff. It's not about power. It's about just a coming full circle. It's so hard to find the words because it's like exactly what we want, but it's hard to even put in words. It's a completeness. It's that hole in you being filled, and you know, it's a complete, we're made to run on our Creator, and without plugging Him into the system, we're going to feel empty inside. We have to plug Him in. And I mean, if you don't believe me, just try it. I mean, what could it hurt to try it? Okay. I mean, you know, I mean, is it, I mean, you're probably the same kind of person that would say, well, I'll try everything once, you know, well, I'll try this religion. I'll try that. I'll try, you know, praying to this God or that God if it works, you know, well, try this God, see if He plugs in and see if it works or not. You know what you have to do. You know, all you have to do is just ask Him to come into your life and to, you know, dethrone yourself and enthrone Him, do His will and see if. And the thing is that you don't want to a lot of times believe that His will would be what you want to do. Understand that if you can't see what He wants yet. I know for me, I was like, you know, I don't know if we're going to want to do the same things really, because, you know, I probably want to go do this. And, you know, it's hard to see because there are, like I was saying earlier, spiritual blinders on. To make it so we can't see that it's exactly what we want. You just have to trust that you're in His will are exactly the same things. You just don't know it yet. It will become clear as you do this. And remember, the way that you developed this idea that you know, this love is not through just trying real hard. You know, you don't just automatically end up understanding and loving Him. It's not something you have to feel guilty that you don't, or that you don't really feel that yet, or something like that. Remember, it comes through the process of prayer. And as you pray, just, I mean, like Daniel, three times a day prayed, and God would move mountains for him. But understand, because he spent those, in that's anybody. That would happen to anybody who prayed like Daniel three times a day, fervently, prayed against evil, prayed for people, prayed for himself, all the things that he needed and desired in this world that we're going in. We need so much. And he just wants us to have faith in him, put our trust in him. I'm telling you what, you hear Freeman talk about how he runs around and, you know, all this synchronicity. Well, I've got synchronicity, man. I mean, I don't even, it's amazing, you know, the stories I could tell of synchronicity. I mean, every day I'm like, I tell myself, wow, there is no other explanation for that but through a direct miracle. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'll say, I can't even think of a logical way that could have happened except for a direct miracle. And then I remembered, oh yeah, I prayed about that. And then, but the thing about it is I'm so fickle that I'll forget about it. I'll forget about it. Just next 5 minutes, I'll forget it. And I have to constantly remind myself, you know, I've been shown many times all throughout my life, especially lately, that God is without a doubt, absolutely, totally real and is paying attention to me. And he is faithful to the stuff that I pray about, whether or not I even remember it. I mean, that happens so many times when I'm like, I don't even remember that I prayed for something, but he didn't forget and he did it. And a lot of times people like don't think he, you know, did it because they didn't even remember praying for it, but they just like, and then when it happens, they think it was something that they did. Cause it's easy to do that when you pray for something, look, like, I really need this, God, please, 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 please. And then it works out and you're able at the minute that it works out are kind of already, you know, deciding that it was something that you did. It's like, oh, that was probably because I did this and I was able to do this and that, I mean, you totally almost forget that you did it, but realize he doesn't forget. He is so faithful and he's just ready to give it to you. He's knocking on the door. All you have to do is open it and just seek and you will find him. And that's his promise to you. So anyway, I know I was all over the place here today and I didn't really say as much about the Black Awakening as I intended to. But remember that these people are out there and they're going to come and they're going to do away with a lot of us. That's their assignment. But if you can, remember to pray for them because they're just like us. It is not God's will for any of us to be lost. So, and they just they have been programmed by this situation. And one thing that helps me remember that we're definitely in these last times is that there's no other reason. Like, this about 50 years ago is when they started producing these 10 million or so sleepers. So we must be on the real close to them being used, or else they wouldn't have been created yet, you know? They're all here for a reason. And, you know, another thing, if you're listening and you are one of these Babylon working babies, just know that your programming is probably to commit suicide after you're done with, too. You know, they're just lying to you, saying you're going to have some kind of position of power at the end of it. You've got programs that are going to turn the gun on your mouth and blow it away. And the last thing you will probably remember is, this isn't what I wanted to do. This is what they wanted me to do. You know, there's a way out to finally, you know, you made a decision to be where you're at right now. You still have the opportunity to make a decision for yourself, but it's the programming is too strong. It's too well done. It's demonized. You have to have the power of Jesus Christ is the only way to break those chains, and he can do it. He can do anything. Every knee shall bow. They cannot stand the presence and authority of Yahshua. So please understand that. Please pray, and don't let them tell you that you can't pray, that you are so corrupted, that God wouldn't listen to you. That's a lie. That's them telling you that. Remember that God, it's the same sin, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, and I mean anything, is no different than anything that I may do after I get done recording this show. Any small, you know, trivial sin is no different. We all need to repent from them. We all need to pray to be convicted and to turn from them, but never let them keep you from praying. That is your key. That is your way out. You have to just break the programming. Remember them telling you what you didn't want to hear. Remember them saying that when they told you at the beginning, what did they say? Do you remember that face? Do you understand that we're different? We're different than them. Totally different. We're something else, and you can have it too. You can be broken free from the slavery. They don't want what's best for you. They're using you like a dog. Please break free from it. We love you. There are people out here that love you and understand that you've just been hurt, and there's no sense in it, and you can be rid of it. Please understand that. And you can email me at chris@conspiracyclose.com. That's chris@conspiracyclose.com. And send me your hate mail and all that good stuff. You can go to the website, which is conspiracyclose.com/nowhere to run. Thanks for everybody. Remember, we are in the last days. We should start acting like it. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. Later.